You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Are you frustrated and confused about how to attract new clients? Nothing you have done is working, and you're tired of waiting for the phone to ring. Imagine learning the tips and tools that will help you get noticed and booked by your ideal client and paid what you're worth for your amazing services. Now's the time to make your dream a reality, and the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show will teach you how. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
This is episode 176. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, brand and communication strategist, also known as the Podcasting Queen. Now, did you know that 80% of all jobs created within the last 6 years were done in small business or startups? Yes, you heard right. The big end of town has stopped hiring. So according to my guest, it's likely that the only place your kids will get jobs is in small business. Now, before you start worrying, what's also interesting to know is that it has never been easier to set up a global business. And joining me today is Mark Phillips. Mark is a serial global entrepreneur and business mentor who's worked and travelled in over 100 countries. Now, apart from his own tech and tourism businesses, Mark helps startups and adventurous businesses commercialise their innovations and take them to the world markets. He lives as a digital nomad and travels full-time. And on today's show, Mark's going to share how to attract Bill Gates as a repeat customer, how to sneak into foreign countries without a visa, as well as how to have lunch with prime ministers and presidents. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Fantastic. Thanks, Anne-Marie. What an intro.
When we say that you are a digital nomad and travel full-time, we seriously meant it, and you've got a beautiful picture of a beach behind you. So, wow, that's your office today.
It is my office today. It's one of the offices today. So I'm in tropical Queensland. I'm on the beach in Mackay at the moment. Mm-hmm. We've got Startup Weekend here next weekend, and so we're flying in some global entrepreneurs out of the US to come and facilitate a whole lot of ag tech, sugar tech, mining tech, and of course information tech.
Fantastic.
From this local community.
Fantastic. So let's dive into it, because I know before we hit record where you're located, sometimes Wi-Fi can be strong and other times not. That's a whole other topic which we won't get into today. From some of the things that you're wanting to share, and I'm sure we've piqued people's interest, how to attract Bill Gates as a repeat customer.
Yes, that is true. My first startup was in the tourism industry. We were an international inbound tour operator. Mm. We were attracting people into Australia to go travelling the Australian outback. As it turned out, as a business person first, as much as I love the bush, to grow the business I had to be in the office and working. I had a whole lot of staff initially, and like all good staff management, you've got to manage the team and talk to the guys when they come back from one day trip. You know, this big ex-Vietnam bushy guy, Vietnam vet guy who worked for me, he said, it was a tough day. I had these guys out of America. They, you know, all these computer nerds sort of thing. And I said, oh, what sort of computer? Oh, they're in Seattle. They do that sort of Microsoft-y stuff that makes computers run. What do you mean? DOS. Yeah, the DOS. It's under Windows. And I don't know what it is. See, I don't use a computer. It was beyond this guy. He said, oh, it was the big boss. And you know, he then started to tell me the troubles he had getting these guys out of business mode into bush mode, which was one of our key determinations of value for the trip.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, it wasn't a guy called Bill, was it? Yeah, Bill. Yeah, Bill Gates. Yeah, that's him. Big guy. And quite nice. But, and off my guide would keep going away. I said, do you know who he is? I said, oh, no, he's a big computer guy, I think. You know?
Amazing. There you go. I love that. That's so typical Australian, isn't it? Oh, yeah, she'll be right. She'll be right, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he was focused on his job, which was showing off Australia, getting people a bit of a break into some natural atmospheres. And part of his training was to get people out of work mode into relaxation, into learning mode. And there's some neuroscience that he was applying, and he was struggling with these guys, probably because they knew what he was trying to do.
Something that you said there, because that was very important to your business, some of the key values obviously that you brought forward as you were speaking to clients, and because of the fact that they did that so well, I would imagine that would have attracted Bill Gates and other clients back to use your services, your business, when they wanted to come back to Australia, yes?
That's correct. That's very correct. I approached this as a business opportunity. I thought the tourism industry was going to be, I was a young fellow, and I thought the tourism industry was going to be one of the best industries for the lifetime in Australia that I was going to have. And I want to get in early. I wanted to start my own business rather than become old and decrepit and stale like I'd seen so many, you know, employee types become.
And speaking of Bill Gates, you are also a Microsoft Surface ambassador. Are we streaming from the Surface today?
We are streaming from the Surface today.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
they're great, aren't they?
This is my third one. I can't do without it. It's just so easy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I use my Surface when I go to clients' locations, you know, if I'm doing recording a podcast. Yeah, certainly can highly recommend those. Let's talk about sneaking into foreign countries without visas. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It's probably only one occasion I've done it on purpose. The other couple of occasions, it's been accidental. You know, the first time it happened, I thought, oh, I've really broken some serious laws here. I'm going to be in a big trouble. Are they going to put me in jail? Are they just going to put me on the next plane out of here, all that sort of stuff. But no, you know, it is largely an administrative sort of thing. Now, politically in Australia, it's built up to be a very high thing, and some other countries have this as a very high critical part of their national culture and psyche because they're trying to keep very strong controls. Mainly it's a bureaucratic thing, and it's not actually harming people, and it's more of a mistake. And sometimes, like the second or third time it happened to me, I was crossing the border in the middle of the Sahara, and you know, a bit of corrupt border guards, and they did stuff that wasn't quite right. But rather than turn around and drive back through 12 hours of the desert, you sort of say, okay, we'll play the game. You know, you think it's real, I'm pretty sure it's dodgy, but if it's enough to get me to talk to somebody official, then we'll do that in a couple of days' time. It's one of the techniques, I guess, that as an entrepreneur, you're always looking for the way around, the way to keep moving, the way to not turn around and go backwards and try not to retrace your steps.
Yes. And it's a good lesson, I suppose, too, in that, okay, here was a problem, here was an issue. So rather than just taking that at face value, you obviously asked various questions and tried to see whether there was other ways around it that would be a win-win for both parties, yes?
Absolutely. Not that I'm encouraging corruption in African countries or anything like that, but sometimes, you know, they're actually quite sophisticated. They will not take your money openly. There is a game to be played, and they were selling me a service. As I later found out, for sure, it was a dodgy service.
Yeah. So let's talk about having lunch with prime ministers and presidents. Although for what happened yesterday, which was the election, the results of the election of the USA, there may be some people who are not really wanting to have lunch with certain people. But anyway, we won't talk about that. Share some of the lunches that you've had throughout your time.
Well, I have met a number of heads of state and seen business people, billionaires and people that have made some really big changes to the world. Not necessarily all of them are particularly well known. When you bubble to the top of your industry, your segment, your niche, you know, you're generally quite driven. You've got quite a large intellect, you've got good connections, and you generally are looking for the betterment of your community. So billionaires and presidents and so forth have exactly the same sort of activity. Unfortunately, they're in high demand, and not everybody they meet is at that same caliber. So they tend to restrict their audiences to a trusted group of people, and those trusted groups of people are often the ones that test and suss you out before you get invited in. So I have sat down with probably three country presidents in the outback of Australia having a cup of billy tea around an open campfire, talking about stuff. And it rolls from the Australian outback to how did Australia become this new, young, vibrant country in such a short time, to how does the economy go? How do you keep employment up? I remember almost rejecting a trip with one of the premiers of one of the provinces in China there one day.
Okay.
And he was very interested in our economy, our agricultural economy, and I was taking him and his team to shearing stations, which were actually working, not tourist ones. And, you know, I wanted to dig down into the economics and all this sort of stuff. I said to him, sitting around a lunch table in a shearing shed, I said, through his interpreter, I said, how many people in your province? And he said, 200 million. And I said, I said, I've got 10 staff. I can't handle them. How do you do 200 million? Wow. And you know, they all burst into laughter. They said, we've got no idea either. So there is some commonality, even if the numbers, even if the zeros are different.
Mm. I think also, too, it's a great reminder to all of us as entrepreneurs and small business owners that no matter who it is that you're looking to speak to, you find a commonality, and if you've, you know, you're sure of your topic, then it doesn't matter who you're speaking to. There's always opportunities for great conversation and great topic discussion, yes?
Absolutely. Mm. You know, the focus here is adding value to the next person.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got this brilliant podcast going out all around the world that adds value to people that are trying to learn and connect and resonate with these new concepts, this hard-changing business world, and you're adding value to them. I add value in a complementary way, in a different niche. And there are people interested in this sort of thing right now. I have a requirement to write a president of an African country again about some startup and economic empowerment stuff right now.
Wow.
Through one of my business colleagues that I met out in the middle of this Sahara I was in a few years ago.
Isn't that interesting?
And you know, the president has as little knowledge as anybody else, and he's looking for help from people to make it happen.
Yeah.
Now, it's a normal request. If I can help him, it's a him in this case, if I can help him move his country forward with some little ideas and some starts, then, you know, we're helping a large number of people. And that's what you can do with people at the top of the tree.
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about some of the tips and advice now, whether it be for startups or people within business, what would you say are some really important lessons maybe that you've learned or that you see businesses and entrepreneurs need to know thinking about the future and things that are just happening, possibly on a national or even a global scale?
We are in this beautiful time where we've got all this choice of technology, communications. The world is so small these days. We can do it quickly, easily, cheaply. But people haven't changed. They still have the same key drivers. They are still looking to put bread on the table and keep their family safe and keep everybody employed and keep it away from war zones and things like that. So today, it's never been easier to connect with these people. And you should feel brave enough to just go and ask a question of anybody in the world. You don't have to wait for substance. You don't have to wait till you've got a degree behind you that says you're an expert. You don't need to be a president of a billion-dollar corporation before you start having these conversations. Just go and have a go. Because if you're adding value, people will resonate with that. People that are trying to drive their businesses, they drive their countries, they want to go faster. They're looking for all sorts of ideas. And if you can help them, it doesn't matter.
Do you have an example of when you've done that, or maybe you've advised one of your clients to do that, and what happened as far as a result from them stepping forward a bit out of their comfort zone?
A client in Australia runs a series of flying schools, teaches people to fly. And, you know, while he was a pilot, he'd never actually left the country himself. And he started getting some levels of inquiries of people out of New Guinea. And he's like, how do I handle this? They don't have credit cards. They want to pay in kina. They pay really well. And I said, well, they're a customer. What do they need? I said, well, I only do flying schools. I said, no, you don't. You're teaching this person to fly. And to teach this group out of Papua New Guinea, you actually need to help them with visas and accommodation and transport. Well, we put those packages together for his business. Guess what? He pre-sold $500,000 worth of packages within about 3 months.
Wow. That's incredible. And sometimes it's just a matter of taking that step back and looking at some of the gaps, what's happening that perhaps you can offer a solution to be able to fill in those gaps and taking that opportunity. Something I also know that you speak on as well, and I think it's really an interesting topic. You were saying that here in Australia, we don't do this very well. It's looking at our business offering and then considering it as far as then globally, and how can we scale this idea that we're offering to a whole new level. Do you want to speak a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I do a lot of work overseas. You know, most mornings before 9 o'clock, I've spoken to at least three or four countries. This morning it was agriculture in Ukraine, tech people out of the east coast of the US. So that's a normal way of life, because I can help these people and they can help me. It doesn't matter that they're on the other side of the world, but we have complementary interests. And Australia has certain hardships that we overcome. We have ways to overcome that. We're very focused in the cities. We actually have a relatively small market to deal with. Our market, because the culture of our country is reasonably conservative, it's not that competitive. We focus on oligopolies and monopolies in this country. So we don't have this free, open, competitive situation that the US or Israel or Germany might have. So when you look around the world, if I go to Europe, outside of Russia, there's 425 million people sitting there waiting for help in some form or other. Now, how many people have we got in Australia? 23, 24?
Yeah.
And there's 400 and something in Europe, and there's another 300 in North America, and well, Brazil itself is 200 million. The numbers get huge.
Yes.
And there's space for everybody, as long as you're adding value. And often these places are more competitive. They're more in a hurry to get ahead, to overcome their issues, to grow their business, in my case, than other people. And they're more in a hurry than what you find a lot of Australians. Australians are quite comfortable sort of place. And so it's a lot easier in many instances to sell a product to an overseas person, a product or service to an overseas person, and to service them.
Yes.
Because they want it more.
Would you say that some countries are easier to tap into than others in your experience?
I think it depends a lot on the industry and the niche that you're targeting. A lot of the media we hear and a lot of our preconceptions are based on consumer behaviour. But if you go and deal with a business-to-business level, it's pretty much the same mindset for industrious people around the world. People that want to grow quickly, sell their goods outside their own country, they have the same thinking. We'll find that in Kazakhstan, as we do in Namibia, as we do in Australia. Business is generally done in English. It's done in a professional, purposeful, stage-by-stage basis. There are, every country's got its own legal systems, insurance systems, and particular business rules to follow, but that's the minority. Ultimately, you're trying to grow somebody's business with your expertise. And I think it's more to do with the niche and maybe the psychographics of the people that you're dealing with rather than the demographics of their country.
That's really interesting because when you kind of think, I've got a lot of colleagues and friends in the US and they cannot believe that entire Australia has only 23, 24 million and yet they've just got that even more in one state. But when you think of other countries, of course, it really is incredible. And so many businesses, as you've said, really don't look at even tapping into that or even considering that. But what are the sources that you could recommend they go and do a little bit more research just to see whether there's like a market there?
Good old Google is an absolutely fabulous tool. We do a lot of keyword searching on a country-by-country basis and analysis to find out which countries have greater interest in particular terms. And the terms change sometimes from, you know, what we would call a holiday in Australia and the US is a vacation. We would use a diary, they might use a calendar or a schedule. So the words are slightly different, sometimes with language differences. But we find out whether there's a trend going on, whether there's an increasing upswing to something. One of the markets we're looking at the moment is organic food. You know, is the organic food market on the upswing? Is there a change of consumer behaviour? Is there more people interested in it? Actually, the statistics are saying no. It's been very consistent for about 10 years. However, there is a change of buying habit going on. So there's some other drivers now kicking in, and it might be frequent flyer miles attached to your food rather than the organic nature or something else. So Google is a fantastic tool. It's the one that puts you in the right direction. Secondly, LinkedIn and Twitter are my absolutely favourite tools for finding people. My conversation this morning was with an American who lives in the Ukraine who's setting up quality assurance systems for PepsiCo in Russia. We're talking about organic foodstuffs and things like that. He was a follower on Twitter and I followed him. I reached out to him the other day. He said, listen, I've got a business opportunity doing organic food in Ukraine. Do you mind if I tap your brains? 5,000 words later, I have a great insight and an entrance into the agriculture minister in Ukraine when I go over.
Wow. That's incredible.
For nothing. you know, it hasn't cost me massive amounts of money to go and find this person or to check it out. It's a desk audit. It's a desk investigation.
Yes.
LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook groups, where people hang out. Where they're hanging out these days is where you want to play.
Yeah. So many people don't see, say, Twitter as an example and other online resources as incredible tools to be able to find out information, connect with people who are experts in their field and therefore that you can tap into. If we just play this out step by step for someone who hasn't even considered, they've got an idea and then they're now going to try and seek out a little bit more information so that they can be more informed. You're talking about organic food. So what did you do? Did you then decide, well, I need more information around, what was it? Let's just step out these things.
Let me just change tack. In the same organic sort of natural food, last week we helped a business launch in the Channel Islands in Jersey, and they are a dog food company. They produce natural, wholesome, healthy dog food. And on there on the island. So I had some experience from some other clients in this space. When they came along to me, I said, okay, how many people on the island? Let's do a bit of a wiki search. What's your population? How's it circulated? Let's see who the suppliers are on the island to see what sort of competition is there. Which brands are there? So we're searching, Googling to find companies' names. We're using Google Trends. So that's google.com/trends. And we're putting in terms like dog food, pet food, raw food, these sorts of terms that are descriptors of the product, and we're getting the numbers over the last 5 or 10 years as to whether there is an increase in this demand. Is there an increase in or raw food compared to general dog food? You know, does that say that there is a market switch going on? How many people are buying local or buy in Jersey? Where we did this business. How many people are quoting Jersey in their pet food searches? So is there an indication that people are buying locally? Is there that sort of stuff? You know, anecdotally, the founders of this business might think there was, but we needed proof. And Google will tell you numbers of searches, how many people, and so forth. And you that goes into a comparison. And you sort of say, well, do we sell it as natural dog food? Do we sell it as Jersey dog food? Do we sell it as healthy dog food? What is the key parameters that seem to be, that evidence shows exists? From there, what we did is that we did a great website to sort of describe it. It is only dog food, and it's an artistic website, which is all about dog vitality and health, not about food. We talk deeply about the ingredients and how those ingredients are nutritious and how they're healthy for dogs.
Yes.
And then we got that operating. He got his first shipment of food coming in. He's manufacturing his little factory. And he says, oh, great, Mark, we're finally live. Now I need some momentum. I said, okay, why don't we just pump it out on Facebook? I've already found that there are 17,000 people on your island interested in dog food or natural, healthy, organic food. So, you know, I didn't tell him, but I'll tell you guys, I spent $20 boosting a post.
Amazing.
He had 30 subscribers within the first 12 hours to his trial pack. He had sold the first order, maybe it was 50 quid, 100 quid's worth. His first order came within the first 18 hours. And that was only not even a week ago. He's got momentum from day one.
Yeah.
And that was as simple as boosting a Facebook post, not even any of the more fancy ones.
Amazing. Thank you for stepping that out because, you know, so many entrepreneurs, they hear about this is what you need to do, but unless they've ever done it before or heard of an experience on how someone's mapped that out, it's almost like, where do we start?
This entrepreneur, he was sitting there talking to me a couple of weeks ago, said, this is fascinating. I can talk to Australia on the computer.
Yeah.
I've never done that before. And I'm sitting there scratching my head thinking after 30 years in the tech industry and international stuff, I was well beyond that stage.
Yes.
He didn't know how to set up his email. He didn't know how to do a Facebook post.
Wow.
He didn't need to. I just said, listen, I'm just going to help you. I'm just going to throw $20 of my own money at this to show you what can happen.
Incredible.
And now that he's seen a result, he has an incentive to figure out how to do it
himself. Oh, yes. Well, I think with the right strategy, and obviously any strategy requires solid information, research to really back up the decision-making. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, tried to boost post or whatever it might be, didn't work. Well, you know, maybe that's because you haven't quite done enough research or found out the right information that enables you to ensure what you're implementing in any strategy is going to get you the results that you're looking for. So rather than throw it all away, the idea, go back and have a look at the various steps that you've taken. Is this something you can change, do differently, get more information to then be able to make a better decision into what you do? So,
Without it, Anne-Marie, it is about the research. It's doing your preparation. It's knowing what's in the head of your customer. What's the language that goes through?
Yeah.
You mentioned before we've got a new Trump presidency in the United States. Mm. And you look there and you sort of scratch your head as Aussies and say, how did that occur? Mm. But he's got a message. He cut through. He had his research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though the popular vote was actually won by Hillary Clinton by appearances, she got more votes than Trump. He got the votes where it counted.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knew what the language was that certain people needed to get over the line to get himself elected.
Yeah.
I bet you his research team had a huge say in his success.
So how can people get to find out more about you?
The easiest is to track me down on the internet under my latest business, which is called Business in Bare Feet. We're all over Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We've got our own websites and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Businessinbarefeet.com is our main site. And we've got a series of free information sets, private Facebook groups, free downloads. The first 100 days in your business is a recent release we've done. And it scales up from there. I do a lot of one-on-one mentoring with people. Very shortly, I've got to go and grab a client and jump on a plane and go to Zimbabwe and help them create a long-term relationship with both an investor and a user. So
fantastic.
The fellow hasn't been there before, doesn't know how to do this sort of stuff, so there's a lot of hand-holding that goes on for these people that are having a go and seeing what's possible out there in the real world.
Wow, that's incredible. Speaking of Zimbabwe, the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, which is this show that you're on now, Mark, for a little while was being syndicated on one of the local radio stations there, ZFM, Z-I-I-F-M. So
fantastic.
You just never know where your voice or where you end up. There you go.
The world's fantastic. This connectedness is brilliant.
Isn't it? It really is. Look, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute honour. And gosh, you know, we could probably talk all afternoon about. I'll have to get you back on the show to share some more success stories because it's certainly inspiring. Terrific.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, Anne-Marie, and good luck to all of your clients and your friends out there in their own business ventures.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, guys, that brings us to the end of another show. As we've said, I mean, you've learned so much, I'm sure. Please do connect with Mark. He really knows his stuff. And if you're looking at expanding globally and you've searched Google and you just need a little bit more of that hand-holding, Mark is certainly there to be able to support you. To find out and to click through, go to the show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/AES176. And again, if you haven't already subscribed to our iTunes channel, go and do that, because just like we had Mark, we've got other fantastic guest experts to help you take your business to the next level. AmbitiousEntrepreneurNetwork.com/AES iTunes. See you again next week. Have a fantastic trip over to Zimbabwe, Mark. See ya.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Are you a specialist who supports small business and you want to increase your visibility, reach and influence with your own podcast channel, but you don't want to handle the back-end management and ongoing promotion of your show? The Ambitious Entrepreneur Podcast Network is on the lookout for a select group of specialists who are ready to become an influencing voice in their industry. So if you're an aspiring podcast host, or if you have an existing business-focused podcast and you're looking for ways to increase your exposure, reach and results by leveraging our podcast network platform, let's talk. To find out more, go to www.ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/podcast host. That's www.ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/podcast host. The voice for entrepreneurs and small business.